1 Peter, and we're in the last chapter of 1 Peter. Last week was a really good study talking about the time for judgment must begin in the house of the Lord. Amen. We can't be looking for the judgment of God outside, because He really cares for His people, and His people He chastens. And He calls some men to be pastors. There's a call on all of our lives, but some men are called to be pastors. And that is a different calling. Unfortunately, here in America over the last 100 years, men have taken that calling and turned it into something much less than what it is. And Peter here is writing in chapter 5 of 1 Peter, talking about, or to the pastors, and what it ought to look like. And as we get into His Word tonight, starting in verse 1, let's go to the Lord and I'll just ask a blessing on it. Dear Father, we thank You so much. Lord, we thank You for Your goodness, Your righteousness. I thank You for Your Word. Father, and I do pray for the pastors, Lord Jesus. Yes. I pray for those who are called by You, that they would have the courage, Father, to boldly proclaim the acceptable day of the Lord. Lord, that they would not be afraid, that they would not be dismayed, that they would not be overly concerned at the things that are happening, Lord Jesus, yes. That our faith would be founded and grounded in the gospel and the good news of Your Word. And Lord, we thank You and we praise You for those things. In Jesus' name,
yes.
Amen.
Amen.
And so as Peter's been writing, I'm going to start and I'm going to back up to verse 17, and because sometimes you need to get a running start before you get into it. So as Peter's finishing up here from the last chapter, he says, "For the time has come that judgment must begin in the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end of them that that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to Him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator." Look at what Peter is saying right here. He says, listen, we need to examine ourselves. We need to pull ourselves to the Word of God and make that adjustment in our personal lives.
Amen.
And I can't do that for you, and you can't do that for me. Mm-hmm. And then he comes out of the body of Christ, and he starts talking to the elders of the church, the heads, the under-shepherds, or as I like to call them, sheepdogs, the sheepdogs of the church. Mm-hmm. And the elders, which are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. So here Paul, as Peter, as he's talking to us here, he says, listen, to you elders, to the folks who've been and ought to know, the people who are called, and he says he personally witnessed the sufferings of Christ. And Peter said that he himself was a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. There is coming a day that the glory is going to be exposed.
Amen.
There's coming a day that all of the suffering that we're going to go through, or that we have gone through, there's coming a payday. There's Amen. Coming that day that you will be crowned with the crown of glory. There's coming a day that you will, if nothing else, you will be in the presence of the Most High God. All of your sicknesses are going to be healed. You're going to be made whole. There's going to be peace. All your tears are going to be wiped dry. All these cares and worries and all the things that are happening are not going to matter when you compare them to the glory that God has for us. Right? And I believe if the church could really grab a hold of that, and I mean really hold on to it, it'd make a lot of difference in our daily lives.
Yeah.
And as he's talking to the elders of the church, he says, "Feed the flock of God, which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind." Now, this is where a lot of pastors mess up. A lot of men, they come into the ministry thinking that it's a job. Mm-hmm. This is not a job.
No.
This is, remember, it says, feed the flock of who? God. This is not my church.
No.
All right? I am part of the church. I just have a different function than what you guys have.
Mm-hmm.
All right? He says, feed the flock of God. So if a pastor stops feeding the flock of God, what's he doing? He's disobeying God. Will God take a wink at that? We said, oh, that's okay. It's all right if you fear whatever you fear more than you fear me. Do you think God's going to take easy at that? I don't believe he will. I believe God is, this is a command. This is not a high suggestion from God. He didn't say in verse 2, if you feel like it, if you're not afraid, feed the flock of God. This is a command from God. Feed the flock of God. When Jesus, again, met Peter on the seashore just before his last talk that he gave to Peter, and he said, Peter, do you love me? And Peter said, yeah, you know, God, I phileo, I love you like a brother. You're my heart. You know I love you. He says, feed my lambs. And he two more times says, feed my sheep. Do you think it's important to God for the pastors of the body of Christ, the spokespersons of God, to honestly study and prepare and say what the Word of God has to say about the situations? Feed the flock of God. Now, we got to be careful, because it tells us in Ezekiel that the unfaithful pastors, the unfaithful shepherds, they go and they muddy up the water. They get into the shallows of the water where the lambs ought to be coming and getting the sweetness and the good things out of the water of the Word of God. And they come in there and they mess it all up. They stomp in it, they pollute it, and then they don't even take a drink of it themselves. They just mess it up. That the people that are needing that can't even drink it because the pastors have messed it up so bad. I really believe, and folks, I believe this deep in my heart, that the situation that the states of America are in right now is because the pastors have stopped doing this.
Amen.
The pastors, they muddied up the water. They didn't preserve the water, preserve the righteousness of God. They didn't preserve the Word of God, the holiness of God, and freely give it to the little ones. They kept it for themselves, right? They went, they got the goodness, they got the fat of the land, and then they said, well, you fend for yourself. So I'm going to feed you, here you go. A good mom and a good dad would not give snickerdoodles every day to their children to eat all day long, right? Why? Because they need some greens, they need some meat, they do not need sweets all the time.
Right.
In America, for 100 years, the pastors have just been giving little Tootsie Rolls out. They haven't been preaching the Word. They haven't been talking about honesty. They haven't been talking about holiness. They've been allowing the doctrines of devils and the doctrines of the world and the Nicolaitan spirit and the Jezebelian spirit to speak through their pulpits.
Yes.
Now, God entrusted men to stand behind these pulpits and tell the truth. God didn't tell us to come up here to make friends. Now, I praise God if some of y'all guys like me. It's all right. But I'm not here to be your friend. Right? A sheepdog doesn't have many friends in the sheep. Right? A sheepdog, my job is to run and do what the shepherd tells me to.
Amen.
Speak the Word of God as plainly and as straightly as I can. Nip at your heels to try to get you going in the direction that the Father's trying to get us to go in. And it's not about you liking me, or I love you, but it's I love God more. I mean, don't get me wrong, I do love you, but I love God more. I fear God, I reverence God, and I would hate not to do something that the Lord has told me to, just
Amen.
To please you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and a lot of folks don't like that. They stay away because it's just not something that they like to hear. It's not my problem. They got a problem from God. Amen. And as he talks on here, he says, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking oversight thereof. Now that taking oversight, that means the pastor's job is to oversee what's in the body.
Amen.
All right? That means if there's things in the flock or in the congregation that are going to hurt the body of Christ, it's my job to make sure that that gets taken care of. If there's gossip, it's my job to stop that gossip. Mm-hmm. If there's schisms in the body, it's my job to get in the middle of that and break it apart and try to bring the two back together. But if they can't come back together, Somebody's got to go.
Yeah.
Because we got to have unity in the body.
Amen.
And a lot of pastors, they would rather, the churches heap to themselves, pastors having itching ears in the last days, right?
Mm-hmm.
Pastors that are too afraid of their deacons to preach the word. They're too afraid of losing their congregation. Notice how I said that, losing their congregation. I ain't got a congregation. All right? It's not my congregation. This, you belong to God.
Right.
And if you're here, you're here to what God has to say. You're not here to hear what Curtis has to say.
Amen.
My opinion does not matter. And it says that you're not supposed to do it out of constraint. That means being forced to do it.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of folks that, I can't do anything else. I guess I'm forced to pastor. Or they get into it, as he says, for filthy lucre.
Yeah.
A lot of pastors, especially those big-name pastors, and I know there's some really good ones that are really fantastic evangelists and stuff like that, but if you don't pay them $50,000 and give them a 5-star hotel room and all the cable TV they can watch, they won't come speak to you. Right? Yeah. Try to get well, Ravi Zacharias is dead now, but try to get one of those big-name speakers to come and to talk to a congregation like this. They wouldn't. We couldn't afford it. You know, because I'll come, but for me to get there, you're going to have to pay me big bucks. I mean, that's not what it's supposed to be like. And a pastor, it's nothing wrong for a pastor making a living at what he's doing, but making a killing is wrong. Right? There's nothing wrong with the pastor being able to feed his family, to pay the bills, stuff like that, from what the congregation gives and tithes and offerings. But when you're coming here to become rich, when you're coming, if you're pastoring, and, well, what was that fellow you was telling me the other couple months ago? And if the congregation didn't buy him a new airplane, God was going to kill him?
Yeah.
I would have bought him a coffin. Right? If God's going to kill you, if you ain't got an airplane, you're going to die. You know, because that $55 million, $56
million.
Think of what they could have done for the ministry of Christ instead of buying that so-and-so an airplane. Right?
Man didn't know where to lose it.
There you go. Yeah, thank you. The Lord Jesus, the Son of God, the Son of Man, had not a place to lay his own head. See, it's not about money.
No.
And Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9:16, starting in 16, the latter part of it, he says, "Woe is me if I preach not the gospel." Okay, woe. If I don't do this, if I'm not amongst the body of believers at least 3 times a week, I feel like something is broke, right? Something ain't right. Woe am I if I do not preach the gospel? For if I for I do this thing willingly, and then I'll have a reward. And verse 17 says, "If I do this thing willingly." See, it's not out of constraint. I'm not being forced to. I'm not doing it for filthy lucre. Even Paul said, "You know that I'm not taking anything from you while I was with you. I work for my own stuff."
Yes.
Right? I was asked today if I still install floors. But for friends and family, yeah, I still do it, but I don't do it as a living.
Mm-hmm.
This is my living right here. You know, this is what God called me to do. And I sold my truck to keep me out of doing big jobs. You know? And so in that, it was, I'm giving up this part of my life so I can get that part of my life.
Amen.
In. All right? There's only 24 hours in a day, and some of those hours you've got to be asleep.
Yeah.
And I would rather, as weird as this sounds, I'd rather spend my time right behind that wall over there, my little bitty office, reading my Bible, praying, and writing down notes. I would rather do that than make all the money in the world. I really would.
Amen.
And so many pastors in our day and time have missed that. You know, the church we came from, once they started hiring musicians, right? We had a fantastic piano player. Loved the music there. Pastor Sam was leading it. It was God.
I love that guitar.
Hey, oh, what that, it was was just good stuff, just regular old stuff. And we used the hymns, and then all of a sudden they started hiring people. They went to college to learn how to lead music. I'd rather be led by the Lord, right? I'd rather have somebody who can't play every single note, but they have a heart to serve.
Yeah.
You don't have to know everything. God's looking for a willing person.
That's
someone who's willing, not paid to do it. You don't do this. This is a calling. This is not a job.
Amen.
All right? It's a call. God calls you to do these things. Mm-hmm. God calls you to be a pastor. And then as he calls you to be a pastor, he provides your needs.
Right.
He provides what, if he's called you, he will supply you.
Yes.
When I stepped out by faith and started this church 10 years ago, Pastor Tom, the only thing that he'd said, if God's in it, it will work.
Right.
And if not, you can come back. You know, so we stepped out by faith. We rented a building. And that was 10 years ago. Never looked back.
Amen.
You know, and praise God. God has been faithful. And he also says in here, pastors are not supposed to do this for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Mm-hmm. Having a clear mindset. This is part of what a pastor ought to have a mindset to do.
Mm-hmm.
Someone who's really called by God to pastor a church or to be a sheepdog of a church, I don't know if there's even words to describe it, because it's not about the money. It's not about prestige. This is the hardest thing you'll ever do in your life.
Amen.
Yeah, because it's like you're being hooked up to a Kirby vacuum cleaner all day long. You're constantly being sucked out of
it. I have two.
Two Kirbys. You know? It's constantly drawing from you.
They do suck hard, man.
Right? And if you're not called by God,
right.
you get wore out. You get sucked all away, and you can't replenish that.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're called by God, you got that mindset, no matter how much people take, God always puts more back in you.
Amen.
You know? Mm-hmm. And then you're able to be a vessel, easily poured out. How many preachers quit? Quit preaching. Now, I'm not talking after you preach 50 years and you retire.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I guess I am. I don't know if a preacher can retire. It's just weird. I believe that. I think I'll work until I die. I think I'll be either preparing a sermon and die, or I'll be sitting up here preaching someday and I'll die, or the police are going to come here and shoot me because I'm preaching and I'll die. All right? And so, and
first.
Right. Whichever way, did you understand where I was coming? I have a ready mindset for that. I cannot, woe is me if I do not preach the gospel.
Amen.
I'll do it for nothing. And if you saw my paycheck, you'd say he does it pretty much for nothing. You know? And it's all right, because God takes care of everything we need.
That's right.
Everything
we
need.
That's right. Yeah.
He says, and here, verse 3, this is big. Neither as being lords over God's heritage. Your pastor is not your boss. I'm not your lord. I am not to lord over you. You have the Holy Spirit. He is your Lord.
Amen.
Jesus is your Lord. Did you break your finger, baby?
Yeah.
Good night. I'm sorry.
Me?
Yeah.
Oh, I tripped on a chair today. Broke my finger.
Oh, no.
Hurt my side. My noggin's still okay.
All right, praise God. I just saw you when you lifted your praise God hand. I said, man, she's got a thing on her face. Oh, I'm sorry.
No, God's so good to me. I could have broken something.
Yes. You could have, like your chair or something.
He's so good. Yeah. He warned me. He warned me. I saw that.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't move the chair.
Okay.
So it's my fault, and I'm going to start listening.
Oh, famous last words there. But absolutely. Praise God. I love you so much. But I saw you had a broke finger. It just popped in my head. But we're not supposed to be lords over God's heritage. Do you know that you're God's reward? You are the reward of Christ.
Amen.
When he stands before, when he is in his Father, he saved you that he could show his glory for generations to come. So he could parade you in front of the angels.
Yeah.
And say, see that imperfect person right there? They loved me. And I set them apart. That those imperfect people, those sinners.
Bless God.
God loves you so much. And he has you in there, in that spot, that he can show you for all of forever. You know, and he says, look, Laura, that's my girl right there.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
amen.
Kevin, that's my son. Yeah. You know, those Justin. Hey, every time he got around someone, he said, praise God for his salvation. Right? And those things that God did that so that you are his heritage. You're not my heritage. You're not Charity Bible's heritage. You belong to the Father, you through
Amen.
Jesus Christ. You've been sealed with his Holy Spirit. And see, so many pastors, especially in really religious circles, well, here's the thing about pastors that need you to confess to them. All right, that gives them power over you, right? So you go and sit behind the confessional screen, right? And go ahead, tell me all your dirty deeds. All right, and I'm going to have you count beads.
Yeah. Okay. While I take care of the little altar
well,
boys.
There you go.
I'm sorry.
Right. God bless
but God. See, you're supposed, and this goes. That's going to go out to all the world out there. It's recorded. It's going out live. And so,
oh, no.
And so, you see these things, and the way that they're lording over the church. That's what that whole confession thing is all about. It's where the priest can lord over the church, or the pastor gets all up in your personal finances, or. It gets all up in your. I've heard of pastors and Baptist churches say that you couldn't buy a car unless you went by him. You couldn't marry somebody unless you went by him. You couldn't. You didn't have that ability. And it's real strict Southern Baptist kind of folks, you know, that were into that kind of. There's a lot of weird. The Mormon church is like that. Mennonites are that way. Amish folks, they're that way. Unless you clear it with their hierarchy in the church, you can't do things without their approval. That's them lording over God's heritage.
Yeah.
See, a good pastor is going to love you enough to let you do what the Holy Spirit has equipped you to do.
Mm-hmm.
It's not my job to tell you what the Holy Spirit is doing in your life.
Mm-hmm.
My job is to oversee it and see something that is in you already and then to come along beside you and encourage you to do that thing.
Amen.
Whatever that thing is.
Yeah.
Right? And if your thing's visiting, we got a visitor and a praise God or woman right over here. I think of you, you're like a Crayola crayon box. You've got all the colors in you. Just bright and fuzzy and warm and that type of stuff, and praise God for that.
Amen.
And so I take this treasure that God has given us, and I say, see that hurting person? Sick them.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And I sick her on them, and she just goes over there, and she throws out love and scripture and comes all bubbly and bouncy into their house, and they hate it until they love her. Right? Save it? And that's
you know what?
What's that?
We are onions.
Amen. Come on.
And we don't, God's not putting any
peeling off
all
Amen.
The things we don't need. And he just peeled off something here.
Yeah.
That's the way I look at it. Okay, Lord.
Absolutely.
Praise his name. He's so good. I don't
Amen.
Know if this is testimony time.
It is. For you, honey, it's always testimony time.
There ain't nothing like God.
That's the truth.
Right, brother?
That's all right.
And so pastors are not supposed to lord over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock.
Right.
So I can't expect you to do something that I'm not
right.
willing to do.
Yeah.
Right? I'm supposed to live a life that shows Christ in my life on
Amen.
Every aspect.
Amen.
And so if I'm going to tell you don't steal, then I better not be stealing. If I tell you not to lie, then I better not be lying.
That's right.
I'm to be an example to the flock. That's why you can come into my office anytime, look on anything, on any screen, my home computer, whatever. You can look at whatever I'm doing. You can come look at my mail. All I get is sales stuff or garbage mail anyhow. But you can look at all that kind of stuff. You can check me inside out, upside down. And my sin, I kind of keep way out in front of me, you know, so I don't try to hide anything. I'll let you know who I am, where I'm at, what God's doing in me, what He has done in me, through me. And a lot of things I'm not real proud of, but I can't be ashamed of them. Because if I'm ashamed of them, then one of these days someone's going to say, well, Curtis, I heard back in 1972 you did this thing. And I said, yes, and I've told everybody about it. Right? You're right. 1970, I did do that. And there's not a person in the church that doesn't know that I didn't do that. You know, so you live as an example to the flock. Mm-hmm. And here's the reward for the pastors right here. I like this. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, whoo, praise God. He's coming. Ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Now, I'm not looking for that crown, but I'm glad I got one.
Amen.
And I don't want to do anything that will tarnish that crown. Right? If I'm not living as an example to the flock of God, if I'm overlording the flocks or God's heritage, if I'm doing this for filthy lucre or not willingly, you know, doing it being forced or not being a good overseer, a steward of God's reward, then I'm tarnishing that crown that God has given me or promised to give me when He comes. And I want to make sure, whatever I do, I want to make sure that I'm in that. And if you're serving in the body of Christ, you may not be the pastor or an elder, but whatever you do, there is a reward for that when
Amen.
Christ comes.
Right.
Well, you might be a soul winner. You might be a prayer warrior. Mm-hmm. Right? And you say, well, I can't do nothing. Justin may feel that way from time to time. I can't do nothing. But you know what he does? Mm-hmm. He encourages the pants off of me. He prays for me. He lifts me up. That man, he may not look like he does a lot, but that boy right there, I tell you what, God is working mightily
Amen.
Through him.
Amen.
He's a vessel of the Most High God. And my job is just to love him up.
Amen.
Amen. Just to love him up. Like
like
sausage gravy and a biscuit. Just sop him up. Yeah. Get all that good stuff there. And so that good shepherd, he will appear, and he will give a crown. He will give a reward. And likewise, you younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Verse 5. Yea, all of you be subject to one another, and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but he gives grace, giveth grace to the humble. Now look at what he says in verse 5. You younger folks, right now we got a problem with young people.
Yeah.
All right? They're a little uppity. You know, they're not humble. Most young people right now, when they get old enough to think, they believe that they deserve everything that you got.
Right.
And they don't think they ought to work for it.
No.
Most young, not all of them, but most of them. Mm-hmm. All right? Now, the young people are supposed to submit themselves to the elders.
Yeah.
All right? That means when the elder is seeing something, little rugrats running around here that need a good spanking, there's a couple of them.
Mm-hmm.
And I've promised I will get off this pulpit and catch them if their parents don't start taking care of it.
Amen.
And, you know, it's going to happen, and they'll probably lose some folks, but those kids will get a spanking. Anyhow, or they'll get a good firm talking to anyhow. I ain't going to strike somebody else's kid first.
Notice he's staring at Debbie like,
oh,
I don't hear God.
Yes.
No.
Okay, submit to the elders. Yea, all of us be subject to one another and be clothed with humility. We ought to be think of each other better than ourselves.
That's right.
You're better than I am. Mm-hmm. All right. And that ought to be our attitude one to another
Amen.
All the time. Be subject to one another and clothed in humility. Because the reason being, God resists the proud.
Mm-hmm.
Now, do you want to be given the grace of God or the resistance of God? If you want the grace of God, you better come to church with a humble heart.
Amen.
Not proud, not lifted up, not thinking that you're all that. you and a box of crackers to go with it. That's not, no, we are to serve one another. We're to humble ourselves before
Amen.
God and before each
yes.
other, to be honest. Verse 6, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time.
Woo.
Praise God. There's Amen. A due time. That's probably my third and fourth favorite words in the Bible. My first two are, but God, and the second is
yeah.
due time.
I
so things are going bad, but God's in charge. Things don't look good, but God, you know, all that. And then the other side of that is in due time, Christ saved the ungodly. In due time, Christ went to the cross. In due time, he's talking to you. In due time, he will reward you
yes.
if you faint not. In due time. Now, often we think that our due time is when we think it is. But no, that's not due time. Due time is when God says it's due time. It's not for us to say the times or the seasons or what we deserve. Praise God, I don't get what I deserve.
That's right.
Amen? If I got what I deserve, I'd be cast into hell right now.
Yes.
But God, amen, in due time I'm going to receive a reward in due time
amen.
If I faint not. That's why we're supposed to cast all, how many of our cares?
All.
Cast all our cares upon him, for he careth for you.
Amen.
Now this is one of those scriptures, verses right here. If you really believed what you say you believed was real, do you really believe this? Cast all your care upon him because
amen.
He cares for you. Do you, all right,
amen.
The election just happened. Biden just took office.
Yeah.
Harris just took office. Cast that care upon Christ. God cares for you.
Yes.
Socialism is taking America.
Yeah.
That's okay. God cares for you.
Yeah.
Cast that care upon him.
Amen.
Right? He's going to take care of you.
Right.
And it may not be the way you want it, but it's never about the way you want it.
No.
The Bible's not about you. These promises are for you, not about you. God's no respecter of persons. Not that he doesn't love you, not that he doesn't care for you, but we're supposed to cast all of our concern,
right.
all of our
Amen.
Worries on him.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is on him. Why? Because now, do you really believe this? Do you believe that God cares for you?
Amen.
He wouldn't have sent his son.
Amen. Yeah. Right. He wouldn't have sent his son. Even, how about the Holy Spirit after his son left?
That's right.
Because if he didn't care, he wouldn't send the Holy Spirit.
Right.
And he sent that Holy Spirit to give you confidence
yeah.
in the day of trouble. He sent you his Holy Spirit to indwell you, to remind you of all the things that Christ did on this life.
Amen.
And to remind you of what the Scripture says, and to guide you into all righteousness.
Amen.
That's caring.
Amen.
John 3:16, we say it all the time. God so loved the world. God so cared for you that he sent Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Christ so cared for you that he sent the Holy Spirit to do a new work in a human being
Amen.
That has never been done before. That he would come and indwell you. Not just rest upon you, but become mm-hmm. part of you.
Right.
He gets in you, and he can't get out of you until the day of redemption.
Mm-hmm.
Which is frightening to me. That means when I willfully sin, that means I'm taking the Holy Spirit with me
yeah.
all the time. When I break God's law, and as much as the Holy Spirit wants to leave me because I'm doing the things I do, he can't until the day of redemption.
Mm-hmm.
There's a day that he turns us over. There's a day that when he delivers, right? There's
yeah.
a day, that day of judgment. And so we are sealed, I think that's Ephesians 2:8, we are sealed by the Holy Spirit until the day of redemption. Right? And so that day of redemption, there's a time that it happens. And so you need to cast all of your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, clear-minded, right? Again, not drunken, okay, but that sober actually means to have a clear mind, clear thinking. How do you get a clear mind in times like this?
The Bible.
The Bible, amen. Here, how about not doing some things? How about not getting on social media?
Oh.
You know what? I've been off of social media so long that I'm not social anymore. You know? You know what? I think better. I really do. My mind is clear because I'm not clogging it with all of the gumbo that is in the world, right? I'm not getting all clogged up by the Facebook stuff and the YouTube stuff and all that other
distractions.
Yeah, I mean, I only have so much space in this noggin of mine, right? And if I get it all clotted up with things that ain't good, things that are not right, things that are think on these things, think of things that are good. That Philippians 4, right? Think on those things. I have it in my mind, but I can't call it right. Philippians before Peter. Anybody get there, you can read it out. Well, Philippians 3:4. I'm right here. Ta-da. Be joyful, yada, yada. Oh, think finally, brother. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. All right? Now, if you're watching Fox News or CNN or MSNBC or any of the other alphabet so-called news stuff, how much of that is true? Amen? So why are we thinking about that stuff? Okay? How much of that is honest?
Zero.
Amen. I'm with you. How much of that is just? There ain't none of it just. How about pure?
Oh,
is anything pure on that stupid box? No, there's nothing pure out there. So why are we putting those things in our head? Why are we thinking about those things? Why are we so concerned about who's the president and forgetting who's the king?
Yeah,
that's right.
Right? We're so concerned. Well, socialism's taking over. I don't care. You know why I don't care? I have a kingdom. Right? And I am promised when that kingdom comes, that God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Right? I'm promised that. And so I don't have to worry about whether the Constitution or the Bill of Rights still stands.
Yeah.
Looking up right now, how to live as a Christian in a socialist world. All right, that's a good read. There's a lot of stuff. Christians that are surrounded by communism and socialism, and they're still Christian.
Yeah.
Right? They still love the Lord. And I believe, really and truly, those folks love the Lord more than we do.
Amen.
Their lifestyle proves it better than we do. Now, they may not be able to come out and speak openly, but when they get together, they worship God.
Yeah.
They think of these things that are true and honest and just and pure, the things that are lovely, the things that are of a good report. I have not seen a good report on that stupid box, whether it be my iPad or whether it be the TV, probably in 20 years. I mean, a real good report from social media?
Yeah.
It's social media. Right? There's nothing good out there. No, don't get me wrong. Praise God. I saw that you've got over 80 people reading through the Bible with you. And social media helped that happen.
Yeah.
You know, praise God. And your tool in that. Welcome to the toolbox. But, all right, so I'm not saying that the whole thing is bad, but the most of it, if you're just out there surfing to see what somebody ate for lunch, okay, that's stupid, all right? Are you looking to pick a fight with your Christian friend because they believe this way and you believe that way? That's not right. That's not what the Word of God tells us to do. That's not casting our care on Christ. That's not setting our lives in the Word of God in such a manner that He is being glorified through us. And that really is what the call's to be, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're supposed to be living a life that illuminates God in the darkness.
Yes.
So when you get on your whatever your thing is, I don't even know what to call social media apps, and you're not speaking the gospel, if you're out there and they have good articles out there on the internet. But instead of reading the good articles, you're reading something else. I just listened to a sermon today. If I wasn't trying to think of his name, Spurgeon, by Charles Spurgeon, right? And it was a wonderful reading. It was a wonderful sermon. I got that off of YouTube, okay? Now, I could have got my book down and probably looked it up, but it's hard to read what he wrote. It's easier when somebody else reads it to you, you know? Mm-hmm. And when he's reading it to him, I'm going through my Bible, so it's just like noise. A lot of folks like noise when they're reading or when they're studying and stuff to keep your mind busy. Are y'all like that?
No, I like it quiet.
No, I got to have something else going on.
Oh, I've got three parakeets I'll give you.
Oh, I'll eat one of them.
They make studying very hard.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I want a cracker.
No, you are a cracker. I'm putting you on a cracker.
He snuck in behind you. I thought he was going to pull on your picture.
Well, he's been fixing a thing in the bar. So.
Yeah. And so we need to change what we put into our vessel.
Right?
Because if not, we're going to be casting everything else upon God and not our cares. Mm-hmm. We'll be casting the cares of the world. And 1 John tells us that if we care for this world, if we worried about this world, if we love this world, the love of the Father is not in us.
Mm-hmm.
See, we got to separate and start thinking about different things.
Amen.
Stop being so consumed. Well, y'all, the men that were here just last night, y'all saw how agitated I got with this stupid box here. I almost smashed it because it did not work the way I wanted it to.
You never had any problem with that.
I'm not a computer guy. I break remotes, you know.
You got to enjoy the women.
So, but anyhow, those things agitate me. So why do I stay away from them? Because it is not just, it's not honest, it's not true, it's not pure, it's not lovely.
Right.
When you see me doing that kind of stuff, that's not, I had to get up and go to the back of the class and pray for myself because I got agitated. All right? And so, instead of casting my cares upon the Lord, you know, and you know how I get when I sing a song I don't know, I start sweating bullets? I was sweating. I was dripping off my nose. And so that's why I would rather Bible studies need to be in the Bible. Anyhow, that's a different story. Be sober, be vigilant. Casting our care because he cares for us. Be sober, clean-minded. Be vigilant. Vigilant. Pay attention and give concern about the things that concern God.
Amen.
Be aware of those things. Be paying attention to those things. Why? Because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. See, when we get our minds so plugged up with the garbage of this world, guess who's eating our lunch? The devil. The devil's taking the goodness that God has for us and he's polluting it with the commercials, with the TV shows, with the ungodly radio stations, or even those so-called godly radio stations that are not playing godly stuff. Mm-hmm. All right? I haven't heard a Christian radio station since J. Vernon McGee.
I love them.
I'm
990, though. You're going to get all the good ones.
All the good
ones. Swindoll. I hear them all morning.
Uh-huh. Yep. Amen.
And you can hear old, what's his name there?
Oh, Vernon McGee. David. On the Bible.
You can hear it. And you know, you get your news from there.
Yeah.
Because they will tell you what's going on.
Yeah.
You know
all that other stuff. You need to be setting our mind, because we have an adversary.
Amen.
And his job is to mess up whatever God has put in you. His job is to confuse you, to get you angry.
Right.
You know, it's the devil knew what would get me angry on Tuesday night. This box not working right. And he knows my buttons. He knows where they're at. He knows that they're pretty easy to push. Right? And so you can ask my wife, I get into that kind of stuff. Boy, I get...
Isn't it always amazing, though, how, like, the tech always screws up?
Yeah.
It's, and I think that's why I get frustrated too. Mm-hmm. It's like, are you serious? No, I mean, not. But it just seems like tech is. This is supposed to be very rational, very. You know,
should be simple. It's push
and,
play.
And all of a sudden, well, it doesn't work. I don't know what's going on with it.
Yeah. It's turn on the VCR and turn on the TV.
The power of the air.
Yeah, he's the prince of the power of the air.
Yeah, that's
no,
it. That could be it. That could be
that
it.
Problem.
You know?
Gee, it just ain't working right.
Yeah.
It only worked like yesterday.
It's only happening to you men.
Yeah, exactly. Well, we're probably because we're holier than you.
Okay.
I doubt that, but anyhow.
Gadgets,
yeah.
Yep.
And so he's an adversary. His name is Satan. He is the devil. And he's as like a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour.
Mm-hmm.
Whom resisteth instead steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. So when the adversary is getting your goat, right? Stand fast in your faith, right? When you're realizing that you're not thinking about the good, the honest, the true, the lovely, the righteousness of God, and you're being polluted by the world, you need to come back to who you are in Christ. You need to get sober-minded. You need to start understanding that we're being brainwashed by the evil one.
That's right. Amen.
We're saturated by this wickedness. He is the prince of the power of the air. Okay? And he is causing a lot of this angst in the body. Because the body of Christ has stopped being clear-minded. We've stopped casting our care on Christ because he cares for us. We've started casting our care on Fauci. Or we cast our care on the vaccine. Or we cast our care on this thing or that thing or the other thing. And that's not where we're supposed to cast our cares. We get it all backwards. We get it all messed up, and then we expect God just to bless us anyhow. Well, God ain't going to bless that mess. What he will do is he'll tell you how to clean it. He'll tell you how to confess it. He'll tell you how to get out of it.
Amen.
And he tells you right here, start thinking better.
Right.
Be sober-minded, right? Start doing those things.
Mm-hmm.
Start resisting the devil, all right? Resist and stand fast in the faith. When those things come against your mind, don't just go along with it.
Mm-mm.
Don't get into vain babblings or worthless arguments.
Yeah. You can't change people's minds.
Amen.
God's
yeah, God's got
don't
you.
Don't throw your pearls
before
the swine.
That was coming out. Yeah. Amen. You know? Don't be overly concerned about what the world thinks in this matter or that matter. Compare what you believe or what you see going on to what the Word of God says is true.
Amen.
All right? We know that it's not long. Satan's time is short.
Yes.
All right? We're closer to the end than we are the beginning.
Right.
Right?
Amen.
We're much closer. I'm not one to put a date on or nothing like that, but I tell you, folks, we've got to be close. I don't know how much worse it could get with all the things that are going on with anyhow. All right, Jesus, how bad was it in the days of Noah?
Right.
All right.
There wasn't one righteous except Noah.
Except for Noah. Yeah.
None.
Sodom and Gomorrah.
Yeah.
Those towns, there wasn't. Even Abraham bartered with God. Hey, what if there's 10? What if there's 5?
Yeah.
You know, will you kill the whole town if there's just a few that are righteous? I says, yeah, you're right, I won't do that, but I know there ain't none. I'm going to send a couple of my boys down there, and they're going to find out. I believe that God is searching right now for a man to stand the hedge.
Amen.
He's searching right now to see if there's anybody in America who really believes what they say believe is real. Right? Is there anybody in the pulpit that really will stand for Christ in the face of everything else? Or are they all going to cower down and
there'll
be afraid?
There'll always be a remnant.
There'll be a remnant until we're swept
even
away.
Even if it's only you, Curtis.
Thank you, but I got too many flaws for that.
but you're still a man standing in the pulpit.
There you go.
Preaching righteousness.
Yeah. Amen.
That's
thank you. Verse 9 says, whom resist and stand fast in faith, in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. So this is no new thing. Socialism coming to America is not anything new.
No.
My wife told me about a story that she read about an old woman. Right? She was 90-some-odd years old. She was in Czechoslovakia, I believe, when Nazi Germany took over. All right, she lived through that. She was in Czechoslovakia when the Soviet Union took over. She lived through that. Mm-hmm. In her front yard, you know what she has as a sign? The embassy of God.
It was on that thing.
And so yeah. So you can be holy and righteous and serve the Most High God.
Amen.
Even if it's just putting a sign in your yard that this is the embassy of God. Mm-hmm. You know, you want to talk about God here? Come on in. You want to be part
during the communist years?
This is during the communist years. During true fascism, when Nazi Germany was. I don't know. She was a young girl at that time. But
it's still an atheist. I didn't realize it's an atheist country.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not even touching her for having that.
Right.
On her.
You know, and so you look at that. You look at the faith of those people. There's another book that we read or a movie that we watched about tortured for Christ.
Oh my goodness. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Everybody should read that. It's on YouTube.
Yes, the movie is.
Oh my goodness.
And so,
Tortured for Christ. It's on YouTube. You can watch it. I think it was on YouTube or it was on a Christian. I watched it. It was so good.
Well, I listened to the book, you know, because it was back in the other church and I was refinishing the floors in there. And so it was like a 5-CD thing. So as I was just working, I had it going, listening to it, and breathing all those polyurethane things. And so, but anyhow, I was weeping. I had to redo parts of the floor because my tears were all over. And the polyurethane.
It's just amazing. Go out and get beat and come back. And what chapter were we on?
Right, exactly. Yeah. It's
but that just shows great. God gives a grace.
He gives a grace.
I believe.
And I believe in our time right here in America, because I really believe that the persecution is coming for the church. There are already the people that are in influence in the government. I hate to say that they're powers, because there is only one power, and that's from God. Okay? Mm-hmm. But the people that are ruling America right now, they've already talked about sending Christians to re-education camps.
Yes.
And they're coming out.
That's it. Loudly.
Accio Cortez, some chick here from New York, she said that she's the one who said it first out loud. We need to have reconcentration camps for those who supported Trump and those Christians. Mm. All right?
Yeah.
Once it comes out of the box like that, they can't put it back in. Mm-hmm. And then to see how many Republicans agreed with her. All right, so it's both sides. See, these are powers and principalities in the heavenly realms. And America's got to go through this. The Church of America's got to go through this. But it's okay. It's okay. You can't, go ahead, Brian.
You can get, if somebody, if you can still, it's hard to get a hold of the old Fox's Book of Martyrs.
Mm, yeah.
I mean, it's, yeah,
your,
it's just.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, some of them are abridged too, and I can look for it for you.
Yeah.
So a lot of the Fox's Book of Martyrs are abridged.
Yeah.
A lot of it's been, this is an old book,
mm-hmm.
and they made it. It was written. It really went against the Catholic Church.
Sure.
And that is not politically correct.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's just
Well, I mean, not to pick on Catholics or nothing like that, but they burned a lot of Protestants at the stake. Okay. Mm-hmm. And so,
sure,
but. We're not suffering something new.
No.
All right? He says, the same afflictions are accomplished. They're already done in your brethren, which are in the world. But the God of all grace. Wow. Again, my two favorite words. But God. Amen. But the God of all grace who hath called us into his eternal glory by Christ Jesus.
Amen.
After that, ye have suffered a while.
Yeah.
Make you perfect, established, strengthened, and settled you. All right? So those wealth and prosperity preachers that says that the church is never going to go through a hard time hasn't read this Bible. Okay? What did Peter just say right here? All right? The God called you by all grace. He's called you to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus. After that ye, who? You, me, us, have done what?
Suffered.
Suffered for a while. All right? Those people that don't believe that the church is going to go through any suffering is wrong. All right? And America has not done their fair share of suffering for the glory of Christ yet. America, the worst that we'd have is somebody tell you, don't knock on my door. Don't send me that letter again. You know, that type of thing. I mean, but that's not suffering. He's talking about real torture here. He's talking about being burned at the stake, being brought to re-education camps.
Yeah.
And that's okay, because they can't re-educate me. They couldn't educate me the first time. They can't educate me this time either. You know, that's why it took me 12 years to get through the sixth grade. You know? Because you could not teach me. I would not do it. And so, and I will not be re-educated, because I have all the knowledge I need to have through Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
And after you suffered a while, he's going to make you perfect. Amen? He's going to make you mature. That suffering, it changes us. And then he's going to establish or establish you. He's going to make you solid.
Yep.
You know, make you solid. And strengthen and settle you. Oh, I think the church right now needs to be settled. They're in such an uproar. People, Christians are so afraid of stupid things.
I know. Sad.
I'm afraid that this president, I'm afraid of that president, I'm afraid of Pelosi, I'm afraid of the virus, I'm afraid of the mask. Why? God did not give us a spirit of fear, but of a sound mind, a sober mind.
Yeah.
You get also caught up in the wrong things. To God, to him, be glory and dominion forever and ever.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Amen.
Right? To God be the glory. And I think this is it, and I need to finish this so we can start a new book next week. Sylvanus, a faithful brother unto you, as I suppose that I have written briefly, exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace of God wherein ye stand. Oh, my, I got to say something about that. The true grace of God. There's a lot of so-called believers that are standing in a false grace of God.
Yeah.
They're believing their prophets and not the word of God. They're believing the world and not the word of God. So he says, there is a true gospel, and Satan has another gospel. Right? There's another truth that is not the truth. Paul says you'll hear another gospel, which is not the gospel at all.
Amen.
Right? There's a lot of people that are listening to wealth and prosperity folks, name it and claim it people.
Yeah.
Grab it and slap it and grab it, or grab it and slab it and grab it. Or, you know, those prophets that were, and I hate to use the word prophet on them, but Jesus, God talked to Jeremiah about a lot of false prophets in his day that said that Jerusalem would never fall. They're not going into Babylonian captivity. One of the guys starts with H. He took the yoke that was built and he broke it. And God said, listen, I'm going to put a yoke of iron around you. You ain't going to break that one. In a year's time, he died. That prophet did. That gave false, he led
Hananiah.
God's people. Yeah, Hananiah, that's him. Yeah, Hananiah led God's people into a false belief system.
Right.
There are a lot of people on YouTube right now, a lot of people out there that's saying that a lot of false prophecies. Got a lot of people in trouble in Washington just lately.
Yeah.
All right? They were following false teachers. A lot of those folks were good Christian folks. All right? But they were listening to something that was not in God's Word.
No.
And when they did that, they did things that were ungodly. They did things that were wrong. They broke into places. Christians shouldn't be breaking in nowhere. Yeah, it's not our job to break in. God didn't say bring a stick to Washington, beat nobody up. It's not what Christians do.
I'm not sure the Christians did do that.
I know, there's so many conspiracy things.
Well, no, but I think there really wasn't that. A lot of them were
I watched one young lady. She, a good Christian woman, believes the Bible, got punched in the face. She was a nurse, got fired from her job because her 18-year-old daughter turned her in. Okay, again, where the children are going to be turning against their parents. All right, so that's a different sermon, but... in all that stuff, I mean, good people get caught up by bad company all the time, you know? And so, following false teachers. And anyhow, this he tells us that we need to hold on to the true grace of God and wherein you stand. That the church that is in Babylon elect together with you, salute you. And so both Marcus, my son, which is Mark, okay, the author of the book of Mark. Greet ye one another with a kiss of charity, and peace be with you that all are in Christ Jesus. Amen. Mm-hmm. Now, this greet each other with a kiss of charity. That's a nice peck on the cheek. All right, don't be kissing folks on the mouth unless you're married to them. All right, unless it's your kid or something like that. I saw so many folks take this out of context, they just, well, I'm going to just kiss you right on the mouth. No, you ain't. You'll kiss me on the cheek if you kiss me anywhere. It's the only person kissing me on the mouth is my grandchildren and my wife. My sons are way too big. We get into a fight about that. Anyhow, he says, greet one another with the kiss of love, with the kiss of charity, not any other kind of thing. So, I've heard a lot of folks take this out of context, you know. So, and it says, peace with you all that are in Christ Jesus. So if you're born again, if you're saved, you ought to have peace.
Amen.
Amen. You ought to have peace.
Yes.
Not fear. You ought to have peace. You ought to be comforted with one another, with God's grace, because you're in Christ Jesus. And if you're in Christ Jesus, guess what? None can touch you.
Amen.
Can't touch this. And so, we just finished 1 Peter. Where do y'all want to go next? Anywhere in the Bible. This Wednesday night, I'll do 2 Peter, I'll do James, I'll do Hebrews. We're already doing Revelation on Sunday morning, so let's not tackle that one right now. We can do Daniel, we can do Ezekiel, we can do Isaiah, we can do Genesis. Leviticus? Numbers?
Sure, let's do one on Numbers.
I say finish up 2 Peter.
2 Peter?
Yeah,
okay, we'll just roll right on to 2 Peter. Praise God, that's where we go. Amen. But every time we come to the end of one, I give the body a chance. Where do you want to go? Because a pastor ought to be able to teach any and every book in the Bible. And ought not be afraid of any of them. You know? And so... I don't know about the Song of Solomon. If there's one book that I don't know about, I don't know if I want to teach that one or not. But anyhow, I love you guys. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we do thank you so much for your goodness and grace. And Lord, for the times that we're in, we are grateful, Lord God, that you are absolutely in control.
Yes.
And Father, we trust you. We don't have to know what tomorrow brings.
Amen.
Because we know what the end says. And we know that you are that end, you are the beginning, you're the Alpha, you are the ending, the Omega.
Amen.
And so, Father, we just pray and praise you and ask that we could stay in you, right? Just sealed up with faith. Lord, Father, we thank you and praise you for those things. In Jesus' name, amen.
Don't worry.